Item 1, minutes of 23rd of May 2026 as circulated and published on the 22nd of May 2026. Do we agree those minutes?
Aye.
Apologies for absence.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Apologies received from Councillors Godfrey, Fordham, Pardesi and Reid.
Thank you. Right. Councillors, question time.
Councillors, questions received from Councillor Rooksell as set out.
Right, okay, as set out, but unfortunately he's not here, which means that according to our constitution and executive procedures rules, that any question submitted under the rules shall only be read by the member submitting it and shall be answered by the person to whom it is addressed. So unfortunately we can't take that. We can provide him with a written answer.
Yes, you can.
At a later date. I did have an answer for him, but unfortunately he's not here. Item 4, proposals of the Cabinet Members. 4A, Climate Change Portfolio.
Thank you, Jack. This is the first report on the new Climate Action Board in terms of its progress in the past year, but also its plans for the coming year. And It obviously ties in with our target of achieving net zero within the council by 2035. I'll just highlight a couple of things in the body of the report. In paragraph 4.2, it talks about the heat waves of 2022, when there was a record number of heat-related excess deaths. And also it points out the heat exposure estimated to cost the UK economy £260 to £300 million a year. But it also goes on to say that we have both an important part to play and a moral duty to address the impact of this. And our operations have on carbon emissions. Because, apart from anything else, we need to protect the most vulnerable in society. In paragraph 5, it sets out some of the achievements over the 25-26 plan. I think actually that should have been 26-27, but anyway. The leisure centre, because of the fitting of the solar panels, has reduced their use of externally provided electricity by 140,000 kilowatts, saving 35,000 a year annually, and £70,000 by removing the need for a gas-based heating system altogether. So it's considerable savings for the leisure centre and enables them to operate without increasing their charges to customers, which I'm sure we all welcome. As well as, of course, helping us move towards our target of zero carbon. Looking at the past year and the achievements in that, in set out in paragraph 5.2, 15 of the 17 targets were fully achieved. One was achieved, 85% of it was achieved, and this was the LED lighting. The other was in the hands of the County Council, who changed their policy, and this was on installation of EV chargers. And of course, we weren't able to make progress in that direction at that time. They are meant to be coming up with a revised policy, but we don't know yet whether that's happened. Next year, we're looking not at 17 targets, but at 30. So we are increasing the number of targets moving forward. Just moving it towards the end of that report, under equalities and diversity, it points out that people in deprived areas are especially more vulnerable to climate change, and climate change impacts tend to worsen inequalities because they disproportionately affect disadvantaged groups. And it talks about health inequalities as well, which are impacted. I just want to conclude with summarising some of the projects for this coming year. We're proposing to help 16 small medium enterprises with advice on how they can improve their carbon efficiency and reduce their costs. We're going to be talking to education providers throughout the authority, that's schools and colleges. There is a community energy project in Highfields which is already underway, getting local people to talk about how they can produce energy within their area. We are purchasing, I think we already have purchased electrical vehicles ourselves, and we're moving ahead with our decarbonisation plan, and I've identified three assets which are the major ones we'll be working with. So Chair, I think we are making good progress, and I would ask that you approve this report.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. We note the report then, agreed?
Aye.
And the regular performance and delivery updates. Thank you. Item 4B is the community portfolio, public spaces protection order renewal. Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. We worked very hard on the renewal of the PSPOs and had listened to residents and visitors to the borough. They want a safe borough to live and shop, run a business, and for their families to thrive. We think we have explored the issues, and I ask the Cabinet is to approve the renewal and increased measures of the public spaces protection order in the borough for the purpose of reducing antisocial behaviour in accordance with the Crime and Policing Act 2014 for a further 3 years following a compliant consultation. Street drinking had previously led to high levels of antisocial behaviour, creating problematic areas within the borough. The PSPO gives police the powers to ask anyone acting in an antisocial manner with alcohol to surrender their alcohol. This will reduce antisocial behaviour, particularly in town centres, parks and public gathering spaces. I'm sure at the moment the police are working flat out during the World Cup and using their common sense. I shall resist shouting, go on England. Dog prohibition. The PSPO has been very effective with dog fouling, issues with dogs off leads and more than four dogs being walked at any one time. We propose to renew this PSPO throughout the borough and not alter them, but have extended the dog exclusion areas, which covers all children's play areas, sports pitches and marked exclusion zones. Holmcroft Children's Play Area, Westbridge Park Play Area, Charmley Park Play Area and the whole area of the playing field near Cherry Tree Avenue in Great Bridgford are now all included in the exclusion zones. The order will ensure and safe and clean public spaces. The restriction will not apply to a person with a disability or with an assistance dog. This will protect public health and cleanliness, especially in parks, on pavements and play areas, and also ensures control and public safety in busy parks, cemeteries and shared use spaces. We must also ensure public safety for pedestrian areas within the borough, from motor vehicles, bicycles, scooters, skateboards and rollerblades. We all know it can be frightening when pedestrians see these hurtling towards them, sometimes at great speeds. The PSPO will prevent accidents and distress in heavily used pedestrian zones. The restrictions will not apply to emergency vehicles, cash in transit, Royal Mail, delivery vehicles, or a propelled vehicle or bicycle used as a mobility aid by a disabled person between specific times. Loitering. The existing loitering PSPO has helped reduce antisocial behaviour with groups of five or more, but police have found it difficult with smaller groups. By removing the minimum number and extending the order across the borough, it thought it will prevent antisocial behaviour. Police will be able to act immediately without prior permission. I stress that common sense will be used and law-abiding groups or individuals not committing antisocial behaviour will not be targeted. Tenths. The existing PSPO prohibited the activity of erecting, sleeping or being in a tent or a similar structure in our borough. There's no alteration to the existing areas and applies to public squares, parks and town centres. It's difficult for our homeless officers to find and engage with those in tents and to address their antisocial behaviour. As a borough, we need to be able to signpost and help the homeless with their housing support needs and give assistance offering guidance to agencies for addiction and mental health. Canvassing. I'm sure we've all seen canvassing groups, religious groups, etc. in our town centres, and they can be an absolute nuisance. We've received many complaints of intimidation and persistent pestering in Stone and Stafford town centres. People feel pressured and more annoyingly are sometimes obstructed from passing by. The PSPO has been successful in mitigating the issues, so we're asking to renew. There's no proposal to change the areas in our current PSPO, but we will be able to prevent anyone canvassing and asking for financial and personal details. The order will protect residents from nuisance and exploitation in public streets and shopping areas. It's very difficult to refuse some of these groups. They're so persistent. Usking. This is a particular favourite of mine. Currently, the PSPO in place prevents anyone busking with an amplifier. The new PSPO will allow amplifiers, but amplified sound causing a nuisance will be stopped. This will balance activity with public comfort in shopping streets and public gathering spaces. I was very keen that this change would be made, as having music in town centres adds to the atmosphere of the high street, and for a few months, we've lost that, and visitors used to come to the busking areas, and they're now asking when they'll be back. Well, we can tell them it's very soon. Feeding birds. Currently, we have a PSPO which restricts this activity, except for waterfowl in designated areas. This helps control hygiene issues across public open spaces, parks and town centres. Bird feeding increases flock sizes, and food not picked up by the birds encourage vermin such as rats and mice. There's no change to this order. Barbecues. No use of barbecues or similar equipment in restricted areas or any of the borough's parks, green spaces and open land. This reduces fire risk and damage, and there's no change to this order. A new PSPO is unauthorised access onto buildings and properties. This is a newly proposed prohibited activity within the PSPO. Unauthorised climbing or access onto buildings and rooftops is prohibited in the borough. There have been 62 known incidents since January 2025. This antisocial behaviour often leads to criminal damage and complaints. Work between the community safety team and early intervention and prevention officers to make areas less accessible. This will prevent injury and damage across all public buildings and structures. This was a particular one within Stafford Town Centre, with businesses complaining that people had been up on the roofs. It also happens in Stone, where we have young people jumping from one building to another, so it can be extremely dangerous. Another new proposed prohibited activity within the PSPO would try to stop ASB, antisocial behaviour, and criminal activity as a result of wearing face coverings. Face coverings, I'm sure we've all seen them, the young people who seem to have black face coverings, which almost covers the whole of their face, is used to intimidate or enable antisocial behaviour. This will not be permitted. This supports public safety and reassurance in all restricted public areas, particularly busy town centre locations. Fear of crime can be as intimidating as an actual crime occurring. Restrictions wouldn't target people wearing face covers for religious reasons or required by law. Fixed penalties would be issued for non-compliance. I'm just hoping that along with these PSPOs that there will be adequate and suitable signage, and I hope that you will agree to this going to consultation.
Any comments? Tony.
Well, just to, like you, welcome the fact that there is to be flexibility on the issue of amplified music, because I do think a lot of people actually enjoy it, but there are those who abuse it, have it too loud, and others whose performance constitutes a nuisance rather than a pleasure. So I think the flexibility is right. The other thing I'd like to just comment on is that this, of course, is a consultation.
Yes.
And I do hope that people will take part in it and express their views. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I can just comment on that. I mean, the paper went into the public domain and we had a number of people who were doing TikTok and Instagram who seemed to know a lot about this, when in actual fact we made it very clear that this was coming to the Cabinet and it was going to consultation. And you talk about the busking, the very reason that we stopped the amplified busking was because we did have a problem both in Stone Town Centre and Stafford, and it was spoiling it for everyone.
Yeah.
In the library in Stone, you couldn't hear what anyone was saying to you. So we've used common sense with this, and we're asking that people are kind with their amplification. And when I spoke to one of the buskers about it, he was distraught that he'd been stopped by the police. I said to him, you never used to use an amplifier, and he said, it ruins your voice. So that was the very clear message. So, I'm hoping people will use common sense. Thank you.
Thank you. So, we approve those recommendations set out in 2.1. Aye.
Thank you, Chairman.
Item 4C, proposed direction on non-compliance with Section 215 notices and high hedge remediation notices and other measures. In the absence of Councillor Reid, I shall take this item. The purpose of the report is to obtain an approval to take direct action to enforce action under Section 215 of the Town and Country Planning Act 1990 and high hedge remediation notices pursuant to Part 8 of the Antisocial Behaviour Act 2003. Why is it needed? It's because the Council has powers under planning and antisocial behaviour legislation to deal with problem sites and high hedges, but some Section 215 notices and high hedge remediation notices have not achieved their compliance. In some cases, prosecution has failed to secure the required improvements. Long-running complaints are creating pressure on the Council to intervene directly. What does direction action mean? It means the Council could carry out the required works itself when the notice recipients fail to act. This could be used primarily in serious unresolved cases where intervention is necessary to remedy the breach. They're asking for a funding of around about £75,000 to be allocated to support the direct action projects. How cases will be chosen will be assessed on the severity of the breach, impact on the community, cost of intervention, risks involved, and likelihood of recovering costs. So the proposal gives Stafford Borough Council a funded mechanism to directly undertake enforcement works on problem properties and high hedge cases where legal notices have been ignored and other enforcement measures have failed. And I propose that we accept the recommendations as set out in 2.1.
Aye.
Any questions? Okay. All agreed? Aye. Aye. Thank you. Item 4D, Ralph.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Now, this is the end of year performance report for 25-26. And the purpose of this report is to advise Cabinet on the progress in delivering the Council's priorities and performance at the end of 25-26. So looking at Table 1, at the end of last year, 25-26, as of 49 projects stroke actions due for delivery, 69% of those have been completed or are on target. I want to focus on some of the key achievements during 25-26, which are, firstly, Stafford Town Centre transformation, and completion of the main demolition works to the former Guildhall and Co-op, and the creation of a draft development framework. Secondly, designs have been drawn up for the conversion of office units to 6 units of temporary accommodation, and agreement has also been reached to purchase another property. External funding has also been secured to purchase 2 further units of temporary accommodation. Thirdly, the Biodiversity Strategy 2026-2033 has been published, along with the Nature Recovery Action Plan. Fourthly, the successful distribution of the Council's food waste containers and information leaflets ready for the introduction of the new food waste collection service, which is now in operation, and again seems to be running smoothly. Excuse me. Fifthly, the United Kingdom Shared Prosperity funded work to Rowley Park's main entrance and entrance pathways has been completed. Work has also continued on the master plan for Rowley Park with the employment of a contractor to install the play area. There are several of the projects and other work completed this year, such as that for local government reorganisation, are in fact of considerable significance to the future of the borough and its residents. Well, Deputy Leader, turning to key performance indicators, KPIs, these are set out in Table 2, and of the 19 indicators due to be reported on for the year, 68% show performance on or above target. Overall performance is comparable to last year, with many services exceeding their performance targets, such as waste collection, help for the homeless, the number of disabilities facilities completed, the processing of new benefit claims and changes of circumstances, the customer services team in terms of telephone calls answered and wait times, and finally, the response to freedom of information requests. So I ask Cabinet to agree the recommendations.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Page 160, Deputy Leader.
Page 160.
Yeah.
Item 42.
Thank you. This is the updated strategic risk register. And the paper, the report, sets out the details of the Council's strategic risk register as on 1st April 2026. All strategic risks and action plans have been reviewed, and the Council's current risk profile is summarised in the table in paragraph 3.1. I can report there are currently 5 red and 4 orange risks. Whilst there is no change to the number of risks, the definition of the risk relating to the Council's financial position has been changed to focus solely on the external risk we face from changes in central government policy. Appendix 2 sets out the full risks in detail. Members will note that whilst risk scores have not changed, some progress is being made to implement the actions planned to mitigate the risks and to reduce the scores. I ask Cabinet to approve the updated strategic risk register.
Any questions? Approved? Aye.
Good.
Item 4D3, page 191. Councillor Cook.
Thank you very much, Deputy Leader. Well, this is a report on governance improvement plan progress for 2025-26. The purpose of this report is to advise members on the progress and delivery of the governance improvement plan at the end of 2025-26. The recommendations are to note the progress made in the delivery of the government improvement plan set out in Appendix 1, and to approve the revised government improvement plan for 26-27 sent out in Appendix 2, subject to any further additions arising from the annual governance statement for 2025-26. Well, at the end of 25-26, of the 42 actions due for completion, 40% have been completed or are in progress, 36% are behind schedule, and 24% are no longer applicable or are not being actioned. When taken with the 22 actions completed in 24-25, a total of 39 actions have been completed, which is 61% of the original number of actions planned. The external auditors have recognised the considerable progress made in the Value for Money review for 24-25, which has been recently received, and as a result, they've reduced the number of key stroke significant recommendations from 4 to 2. This follows the removal of the one statutory recommendation last year. Well, 4 minor improvement recommendations have been identified. As a result of this and the anticipated work expected to prepare for local government reorganisation, there has been a review of the outstanding actions and a revised action plan for 26-27, and that can be found in Appendix 2. So I ask Cabinet to agree the recommendations.
Agree those recommendations?
Agree.
Item 44, Councillor Cook again. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. This is the revenue and benefits collection report for quarter four, 25-26. It's the end of year report. And the report is to inform Cabinet of the performance of the revenues and benefits service regarding the collection of council tax, business rates, and the recovery of overpaid housing benefit during the 25-26 financial year, and also to seek approval for writing off the arrears listed in the confidential appendices. Paragraph 2.1 gives reasons for the report being not for publication. Well, the headline figures are, firstly, council tax due for the 25-26 financial year amounts to £111.6 million, of which 97.7% was collected by the end of March. Last year it was 97.8%, so a very marginal drop of 0.1%. Business rates, on the other hand, for the 25-26 financial year amounted to £59.6 million, of which 98% was collected during the year. This was a small decrease on last year's collection. I'm sorry, it was 98%. That was a small decrease on last year's collection, which was 98.6%. Now, this was not entirely unexpected, because the section did warn during the year that repeating the previous year performance would be challenging, as many retail, hospitality, and leisure businesses were facing higher bills as the government relief had reduced from 75% in 24-25 to 40% in 25-26. I'd also add that around £174,000 of the amounts uncollected relate to town centre properties which are demolished and awaiting Valuation Office action to remove them from the rating list. Now, had this happened before the 31st of March, our collection rate would have risen to 98.3%, much closer to last year's one. So, technical things can get in the way. Right, there are 2 irrecoverable business rates debts in the sum of £59,991.41 listed in the confidential appendix. So if I turn to housing benefit overpayments, some £443,000 of overpaid housing benefits was recovered in the 25-26 financial year. And a reminder that this income is received into the general fund and is not shared with preceptors. It is all ours, in other words. One irrecoverable housing benefit overpayment debt in the sum of £10,439.43 is listed in the confidential appendix. Finally, Deputy Leader, I'm sure that the Cabinet will wish to join me in thanking the members of the Revenues and Benefits team for their hard work over the year in collecting the taxes and rates due to this Council. And I ask Cabinet to agree the recommendations.
Agreed? Agreed.
Thank you.
That concludes the meeting. Thank you very much.